What's good, everybody? Wednesday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen and Rob Reese back with you talking fantasy pucks and DFS and sports betting, the whole bit. Great to be on with you, Robbie.
Likewise, Petey, good morning to you. Good morning to Bobby, our producer as well. How you doing today?
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing on this Wednesday, coming off a large Tuesday slate? So got a lot to talk about. Got a lot of games on Thursday to get to as well.
I'm doing a lot better than the New York Rangers are from a fantasy standpoint, real life standpoint, sports betting standpoint. It has not been very good for the Rangers this year. I have Shesterkin in one of my keeper leagues. Zero wins, right? I mean, how many goalies out there have at least one win, including Scott Wedgwood, who I think has two. So that's just like an insult. But of course, the Rangers came in with some high expectations. I had them as a playoff team. I don't think they're a playoff team anymore after this first sample size. What do you think, Robbie?
Yeah, I had them missing just because, like I said, their defense just isn't there. I think that's going to burn them consistently all year. Now, if we're looking at fantasy value in terms of sell-offs, like maybe cut your losses now, I think Shesterkin, I still have some hope for, Pete, where, you know, if he gets some more starts here and some higher volume, which I think he should, you know, he's going to have a decent save percentage. So I at least like that angle for Shesty. I don't think I would cut the cord with him, but some of these guys, like we were talking about, Chris Kreider, you know, Pavel Buchnevich, maybe those type of guys at this point, I'd rather have a streamer spot. But Pete, I mean, it's just so hard to say that because you know that if Mika gets going and Panarin gets going, like there is going to be some value here. They did start a little slow last year and then those guys exploded.
Yeah, those guys were amazing on separate lines. And now it just feels like Panarin's on a line all on his own, you know, getting some good attempts on net, but not really anybody setting the table for him at all. Ryan Strom has certainly regressed. And then Zibanejad missed some time earlier in the year and, or, you know, he was day to day for a while in training camp and stuff. So, I mean, it's just, it seems like they've gotten off to a rugged start here. Same old story, like we've been beating the drum on for so long where they can't incorporate the young players. Adam Fox has been productive. Give him a lot of credit for that with the Rangers issues on the back end out for offensively speaking. But yeah, I mean, Lafreniere, no points in six games, Kaapo Kakko, is a ghost out there. So it's just, it's tough, man. It's tough to invest in these young players with how they have struggled to find even any fantasy relevance under David Quinn.
Not much more you could say when you look at the defensive core and you realize they're all around 22 years old. And that's what you get with the Rangers. And then on top of that, your big guns like Mika and Panarin have done squad douche. But Robbie's right. The moment you cut the cord with those guys, it's a 6-7-8 goal game. And you're sitting there wondering, well, I cut the cord a little too early.
And the reality is I don't think they're going to come back and somehow make the, you know, the postseason. I don't think that's a possibility, but I do think there is a possibility we see some fantasy value. Now with Lafreniere, Pete, who you said has no, you know, nothing doing next to nothing for you fantasy wise, like that's a player I think at this point you do cut the cord with. We saw it last year with Kakko too. The rookies in that system just are not getting enough burn and enough opportunity to really thrive in fantasy.
Yeah, and I agree with what you said about Shesterkin. I mean, there's no way this is going to continue for much longer. But yeah, you lose some of those fringe games to the Buffalo Sabres, who are another team that in all likelihood are going to be on the outside of the playoff picture. And all of a sudden, you see the Rangers at the very bottom of the East Division standings, behind the Islanders, behind Buffalo. 4 points, 2 wins behind the New Jersey Devils. That's a concern. But give some credit to Buffalo here, just to stick in that game. Since Linus Allmark has come back, we touched on it on the last show, has definitely injected some nice positivity into that group, and they're starting to get a couple of wins here. They got the shootout win against the Capitals over the weekend, and they got this win where the Rangers were peppering them at the end of the game. And Allmark has been steady. He's made some of the big saves for them to finish off these Ws for the Sabres.
So if you are cutting the cord on some of those guys, you mentioned two players I would target. We'll go back to Andrew Kopp of the Winnipeg Jets. Huge, huge performance for him on Tuesday night, and that's going to continue as long as his ice time's around 16 minutes per game. So that's a must-add player, especially before Pierre-Luc Dubois gets in the lineup. Make sure you make that move right now. The other player that I do like this one, I'm going to go a little bit deeper here, is James Van Riemsdyk, left wing for the Philadelphia Flyers. This player has a high, super high shot volume this year. If you have a guy, let's say comparable to Cam Atkinson, you know, sometimes the goals just don't go in, but when they do, those high shot volume guys are so, so valuable in fantasy. I would take a short-term flyer on JVR. I'm not saying, you know, pump that for the rest of the season, but definitely short-term squeeze there. You'll get some value from him.
Yeah, he's a guy that I know AV has been talking about, as he's so much more valuable than his stats have indicated, even dating back to last season. So, you know, once the goals start pouring in for him, you could see him, even if he's playing on a third line, have some really immense value in fantasy as a streaming option. I think that, yeah, Kopp, we picked him up the other day in our joint league. I picked him up this morning because Backstrom went day to day, Nicholas Backstrom from the Capitals. So yeah, I think that like Kopp, dual eligible, absolutely piling up the categories right now. Nobody's been scoring as much as this guy in terms of points over the past couple of days. And he has found that niche on the second line with Nikolaj Ehlers and Paul Stastny. And of course, we know that if, you know, whenever the time comes that Dubois joins the team, that means that there's going to be another wing spot up for grabs on the line with likely Dubois and Ehlers. So Kopp could certainly be that guy that benefits once Dubois joins the team.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a major beneficiary. You could even say at this point, I feel most comfortable that he will benefit the most, maybe out of any other player exposure wise. So what that's worth. I mean, I was reading a story about John Tortorella. He said he was envisioning 5 or 6 potential different line combinations for Line A. Well, from a fantasy manager's perspective, what does that mean for me? Like, what am I going to go pick up? Like 5 or 6 Blue Jackets, and my whole fantasy team is going to be rebranded as Columbus?
Yeah, that's like what we're in. Yeah, we can come up with 5 different combinations that they could do, but you hope that the coach maybe has it narrowed down to 1 or 2. I have some level of trust in Tortorella to make this thing work. For his sake, you don't want it to be, you know, the next edition of the Dubois saga and some of the other things through the years with players not bringing the A-plus effort defensively and then a little bit of a falling out. But yeah, I think it's going to work with Patrick Laine. And I'm just looking for Laine, when he gets there, to expand his overall game, become more of a playmaker, and also become, you know, a responsible two-way player. Like, this is a chance for Laine's career maturation to take the next step, which is a big thing for the individual player if it goes well.
You know who I trust to make this work, and he has a vision that this is going to work? Is Jarmo, because of the Finnish connection with Laine. I just feel like Jarmo and Laine, they've chatted, they talked, and Jarmo's like, Laine, you're going to make this work with Torts. And Torts has got to adjust and make it work also. But Jarmo having the vision and also that Finnish connection to bring out the best in Laine, the defensive effort, every component of Laine's game has to show out. And I think Jarmo's going to be able to plug into that and unlock that, hopefully. Hopefully with Torts, hopefully they can do that with Laine, because everyone will benefit.
And they also have Mikko Koivu there, who I know is in the late stages of his career, but talk about another Finnish player with career longevity. And I think universal respect. You got the Finnish connection going, like you said.
Oh, Mikko Koivu. Mikko Koivu. They gave him the first penalty shot in the shootout last night. Torts did, and that didn't work out. He completely whiffed on the shot. He's got a good career shootout percentage. Did not help Bob Bender. Did not help Bob Bender with the whiff on the first shot in the shootout. Just saying.
Well, let's talk about some goalies here before we turn our attention ahead to DFS and tomorrow's slate. I'm looking at 2 big storylines. One is Brian Elliott racking up a W against the Devils yesterday. Now, he made 23 stops, you know, allowed 3 goals. It's not going to blow you away performance-wise, but pay attention to that storyline for Philly this year, because Carter Hart was drafted so high on average. And if Elliott finds his way into a timeshare here where they're splitting 50-50, that could be major. So I would recommend all Carter Hart owners run out to the waiver wire, make the adjustment, get Brian Elliott in now. They're probably going to roll roll him out against New Jersey again, I figure, with his hot hand right now. So look at that. And then one other one, Pete, a lot of people are asking me on Twitter about Kevin Lankinen of the Chicago Blackhawks, picked up 2 wins. Now, granted, they were against Detroit, so it might not be saying a whole lot, but with Chicago's loss against the Predators last night, they've got a back-to-back. They're going to probably roll Lankinen out tonight. I mean, that's good spot start, I think, for the Blackhawks there. Obviously, they've got a ton of guys either injured. Now they've got the COVID protocol going on there. So I can't recommend this as a long-term play, but do you have interest in like a deeper league in a guy like Lankinen?
I do as a streamer exclusively. Like you said, there's not much long-term appeal. I'm not going to ride the ups and downs with the Chicago Blackhawks, but yeah, if you could get Lankinen and have him rolled out against teams like the Nashville Predators, the Florida Panthers, the Detroit Red Wings, you know, even some, you know, even the Columbus Blue Jackets, there are going to be some wins that he picks up. And that's another guy I mentioned, Shesterkin, right? No wins. Kevin Lankinen, 2 wins. Wedgewood, 2 wins. I mean, it's just like rubbing salt on the wounds at this point. But yeah, I do think there is some streaming appeal to Lankinen for sure. And then one other note on Shesterkin, I actually got an ad drop question. Should you drop Shesterkin for John Gibson in a shallow league? The more I watch of John Gibson, I mean, 3 wins, 2 shutouts, another one last night. You might actually make that move, even though I have no trust in the Ducks. What do you think?
Oh, I'm making the move immediately. I would run out to the waiver wire, right? I'd leave the program right now to make that ad. There's no doubt in my mind, at least even if you've sacrificed some wins, which could be likely, Bob. I mean, the fact that you're going to get at least a 915 save percentage in every game, regardless of the opponent, I would sign up for that right now in this shortened season.
Me too, Robbie. Gibby, and who was on it early in the season was our pal Leboff. I think he took him for the Vezina. Now, that's still a long shot, but look at what Gibson has done. He's the only positive on that Anaheim Ducks team, and he's throwing out shutouts, one-goal games, you know, collecting wins. You have to go with Gibson. Shesterkin right now, like a lot of these younger goaltenders who are highly touted, he's struggling. He hasn't been great, and he didn't even get the start last night. So I think you got to make that move.
What about a guy like Cal Peterson? Are we going that deep? I mean, LA has been in every single game. 5 out of their 7 have been one goal games. You know, if obviously Gibson's not going to be available for many people. What about a team like LA who also kind of resembles Anaheim and where they're keeping everything close?
I like LA more than Anaheim to actually compete and maybe make the playoffs this year. So, you know, if you're looking at one of their secondary guys, like in a deeper league, whether it's Velarde or Adrian Kempe, or even Grundstrom, who came over. I know he scored a big goal, and, you know, he came over in that Jake Muzzin deal. I mean, the Kings have been stockpiling prospects for a while, and if they're going to go in the youth movement and it doesn't even include Quinton Byfield this year, that shows you that they have a heck of a lot of young talent on that team. So, yeah, in terms of, like, you know, futures to make the playoffs, I certainly like the Kings. I know you picked them, Robbie, to make the playoffs over the Sharks, and that's a good pick in hindsight. Certainly like them over the one-man John Gibson show right now out in the West.
The Kings look fast. They look faster than they did last year. The older players look a little rejuvenated, and Kopitar and Carter actually looks like he can skate now. And then they have these young guys and still have Doughty, and the coach McClellan's got it working. I like what I see from the Kings. They may get into the playoffs. I don't want to speak too early, but the way they're playing, they're in every single game. I like what the Kings are bringing to the table. And both you guys on the Kings last night, and they go out, finally beat the Wild. I just, you know, you sense they were going to eventually be able to get over the hump with the Wild, and they eked it out 2-1. I like the Kings, Robbie.
Well, they're the, like, one of the best coached teams, in my opinion, especially in the division. Like, they're in every game, so give them credit for that. But I think the rest period really benefited the veteran guys. We're seeing it with Kopitar. I mean, he looks like he is still in the prime of his career right now. You mentioned Jeff Carter, who had so many different injuries, rehab that, had finally had some time to relax. Now he looks like a good player again. And one more thing I would say too, I mean, about this Kings team is just that their goaltending, I mean, with Quick, who looks decent again, and now Cal Peterson, like, they're going to be in a lot of these hockey games. So that's certainly a situation in fantasy I would try and benefit from. But it's funny because this rest period also did not benefit certain teams. I would say one of those is the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm watching that overtime against the Boston Bruins. Malkin has a breakaway that's essentially a penalty shot. There was no one within 15 feet of him. And then he had a 3-on-0 and neither of those were capitalized on. I mean, I've never seen a Penguins team miss opportunities like this in the past, I don't know, 10 years, guys.
Can I just rant on that 3-on-0 overtime? I had the Penguins, pick the Penguins, plus 120 or so. Malkin coming down, streaking, Letang behind him. I don't understand. Somebody, please, my God, Lord, take the shot. Someone get the shot on net. How do they not get a shot on goal in that situation? They're passing back and forth. They're passing back and forth while they're in the crease. Tuukka sticks his stick out, you know, stick checks the puck away. And that was awful. And then it leads to a goal for Boston right down on the other side. That's a bad. You got to get a shot on goal when you have Letang and Malkin streaking down 3-on-0. You never see it. Get a shot on goal. Sorry, but that was bad.
Yeah, I mean, this is becoming the culmination of what we've seen the past two playoffs from the Pittsburgh Penguins, right? Like Crosby, you can always expect the best from him, whether he has bad line mates, if Gensel's injured, or, you know, it doesn't matter who's on that right side. I mean, but you've seen some concerns over the years, recent years, from Malkin, from Letang. I mean, I just, like, especially the secondary scorers are just not there anymore. You're really leaning on like a Brian Rust to perform at an elite level like he did last year, but you can't really expect him to duplicate that. I think he was bound for some regression, and the goalie tandem's not good. The defense is decimated. I mean, that's why I think we felt they were going to miss the playoffs this year. They can't go toe to toe anymore with the real elite teams in the league. Sure, they could eke out some wins against the Capitals here and there and some of the bottom feeders in the East, but yeah, I just don't think the Penguins are in that same conversation anymore.
Well, I would say in fantasy, if you have some of those guys, Malkin, I would say, you know, try and trade him. I mean, even if you're looking at a return like Kopitar or something that on paper a couple of years ago would have been mind-boggling, in fantasy this year, you make sure you're getting some categories every single night. And right now, it doesn't look like you're going to get that much with Malkin this season. Now, it's still early. There's time for them to show something different. But from their defense, I'm not seeing a lot. And if those forwards, those old forwards, have to carry the play, I don't know if they're going to be able to. And one more thing, I've got Gensel. I inherited a keeper league team this offseason. I've got Gensel on it as a keeper. And I'm starting to think, you know, maybe I put that name on the trade block too and see if there's maybe someone in the league that believes more highly in their future than I do.
Yeah, for sure. And I wanted to get on today's show, wanted to get to the defenseman rankings that we were working on yesterday, Robbie, before we get to the slate, right? We've seen some, you know, inclusions of like a couple of good duos, right? Like the Winnipeg duo, we have Pionk and Morrissey in a good spot in the rankings, the Colorado quartet, you could say, right? With their four guys, Makar, Girard, Devon Taves, and even Bowen Byram, who was held off the score sheet last night, but we both like long-term. Like what were some of your takeaways from that defenseman list, which is nhl.com/fantasy?
Well, I think over the past 2 years, this position has changed drastically where you're hardly getting any value outside the top 20. I would say two, three seasons ago, you could play down to the 50 rank on D and you'd still get some value game to game. Right now, you're not getting it. I think the position is becoming scarily like the goalie position, where if you have like a duo like Morrissey and Pionk, you're going to benefit from that in fantasy, because one night Pionk's going to have an assist, the next night Morrissey's going to have a goal, and so on and so forth. And I think with Colorado now having really, I mean, four guys you could argue be fantasy relevant on the blue line, like I don't care whether it's Byram, I don't care whether it's Girard, Taves, I just want at least one of them, if not two, because that's how you're going to get value from that position. Whereas if you have a guy like Tony DeAngelo from the Rangers, obviously you've already cut the cord and moved on there.
Yeah, and that game last night changed in a hurry, and you could see the Avalanche on any given night erupt from a game that starts like 1-1 and make it seven goals by the end of the game. I think we're going to see that pretty often, and thus the defenseman will be involved in the scoring output on a game-to-game basis. So that's like, right, we were trying to reorder the list a little bit based on some short-term trends and then some better guys who have been slow starting, like Rasmus Dahlin, for example, that we have some concerns about long-term. But then you just find yourself prioritizing like those Colorado guys. I think that's what we did in the ranks.
Avs puck line all day, all season, you'll end up cashing. The other thing, the other angle, which was already mentioned on this program by, I believe, by myself, Vegas going into the third period, if they're trailing, you might as well throw a shekel on them on the live line. They were down 4-2. They end up tying it up 4-4. They lose in the shootout, but again, it feels like a good bet if you get them at plus 300 or so going into the third period as they trail, because those two teams, I'll continue to say it, they're just flat out wagons. They're going to be in the Western Conference final if everything, you know, shakes out, you would hope and think, because those two teams are just a class above everyone else in the league.
I want to focus in on Dahlin here for a second, Pete, and in keeper leagues, if you have a guy like this, you know, you've probably kept him right every season so far, and now you might be starting to push the panic button a little bit and say, what is the actual ceiling and what is the actual long-term value of a player like this? Because I would almost argue, Pete, that guys like Rasmus Anderson, who have captured a top power play spot on a pretty good team in the Calgary Flames, guys like Bowen Byram, who have unlimited upside, you know, and Ty Smith, even for the Devils, Pete, you're already getting more value from. So when you're looking at Dahlin, the draft pedigree of being a first overall pick is certainly there. That checks a box. But what does the long-term value of a defenseman on the Buffalo Sabres, what is that really doing for you in a keeper league anymore?
Yeah, I mean, especially you don't know the long-term trajectory of the team if they miss the playoffs again this year. You know, Jack Eichel might be knocking on a certain door for the long term. I know he signed there long term, but he might not be happy. Again, they're coming off a couple of wins here, so they're at least for this year starting to play competitively, you know, trend in the right direction. But with Taylor Hall coming off the books after this year with the 1 year deal, it doesn't give you a level of confidence in the team overall. And yeah, when you see right Rasmus Ristolainen, who's been a project that hasn't worked out so well over the years, he is outperforming Rasmus Dahlin right now, night and day, in terms of category coverage. And that's from his own team. So yeah, when you're talking about Rasmus Anderson, that's a no-brainer to pick him up and drop Dahlin. And in a keeper league where we've seen Dahlin be viewed as a top 10, top 15 overall asset, I don't think you could say that anymore, just because of the direction of the team beyond this season. They may very well be in the race this year up until the final days of the season. I wouldn't be surprised by that, even in the tough East division. But like, the Sabres are concerning, especially when you see 1 point on the season, -7 for Rasmus Dahlin, covering shots a bit, but not hitting anybody. I mean, there's no category coverage there.
And I think it's ever more frustrating because you have guys like Romanov now, even for the Habs too, who is covering every category, really. I mean, the production, I think, is not going to be there for Romanov, but if you're getting a ton of blocks every night, if you're getting hits every night, that's at least doing something for you. And his plus is going to be good too on Montreal, who I think we all feel pretty solid about their future, the offseason moves they've made. They've even got prospects that are going to be ready in Caulfield next year. Kokkaniemi looks better. So it just shows you how fast things change in a fantasy landscape. And that it honestly, that's why we do this program 3 days a week, because you got to be on these trends. If you wait too long, you're not going to get the proper value back for a player like that.
Now, you mentioned Bowen Byram as maybe a guy that you would add long-term over Rasmus Dahlin. What do you think about Ty Smith? Because we've been hyping him up. I know he was held without a point yesterday, but this is a guy, like, I feel like over the course of the season, he's going to end up on power play one with Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier and Palmieri once Hischier comes back from injury eventually. And like, that's more appealing to me than if Rasmus Dahlin is going to be either caught up in these negative production trends and or have a bad plus minus at the end of the day. So yeah, that's just something, that's another guy to consider in terms of long-term option, who could also be a focal point of one of the most surprising teams in the league so far this year with Smith.
And I think I would take Ty Smith in this instance right now today, because hit that power play spot, like you alluded to, that's going to be his. And there's no one else knocking on that door. Ristolainen is now knocking on that door because he's got a cannon from the blue line. You know, I know Dahlin moves the puck a lot better, but you don't have that storyline. And I also think the other thing is Jack Hughes and Ty Smith living together as roommates. Both these players are flourishing. They're definitely going to make a good impression on one another off the ice too. So I think you really have to say, guys, that the Devils are in a good position this year. And it seems like their core has a little bit more cohesion than the New York Rangers, who have a lot more, you know, wow factor, But credit to the Devils right now. Looks like they're going to be the peskier team, the harder team to play against.
Yeah, absolutely. The harder team to play against for sure. And a little pop for the boys over at NHL at the Rink. In fact, in about 90 minutes or so, the head coach of the New Jersey Devils, Lindy Ruff, will be calling into those guys. Hopefully they have some good questions for him and can have some good back and forth. Apparently Dan likes to share tequila with Lindy Ruff occasionally. They have a nice little relationship. Should be a good interview. So that should be posted later today. A little pop for them. And the last thing I'll say, Robbie's talking about fantasy trends and whatnot. The fantasy trend that you should all be on, you probably missed the boat. I already picked them up early. Johnny Forsland picked him up. He's on the fantasy squad. He's going to be the new TV voice of the Seattle Kraken. So if you missed that trend, get on it, because Johnny Forsland, the best in the game, the best call in a hockey game. So, and the other thing is Gary Thorne might be out there too, fellas. He got fired by the Orioles. Gary Thorne may be calling some NHL games down the line. So a little trend there. Stay on top of it. Okay. Bye-bye.
If Gary Thorne is calling hockey games, I'll be one of the happiest people in the world. For
you
sure.
Love him.
I love that voice. He's probably my favorite broadcaster, whether it's baseball, hockey from back in the day, but yeah. And then Lindy Ruff, I'm definitely going to be listening to that show later. Buffalo sports legend Lindy Ruff. So excited about that.
I would say a couple trends I'm looking forward to, gentlemen. I don't really love the Wednesday slate. I think if you're going to take a night off and recharge the batteries, you probably do that tonight. I would keep an eye on Lankanen for the Blackhawks just to see, you know, the Nashville's going to be hungry here again. See if he can keep them in that game. If so, that's probably a good short-term streamer. But one major thing, guys, I'm looking forward to on Thursday is the return of the Carolina Hurricanes. Now they're playing the Tampa Bay Lightning, who I noticed. I was looking at their head-to-head schedule. They have two games, April 19th and April 20th. They finished the season on a back-to-back head-to-head. This may be a preview of who is going to win that division. So pay close attention to that. Let's see how Carolina comes out with a little bit of rest.
I really can't wait for this game. I mentioned it on the previous show, and then like minutes after we finished recording, it got canceled, unfortunately, or postponed just because of the situation surrounding the Hurricanes. I know the COVID-19 protocol has been on the list for Teuvo Teravainen and Jacob Slavin. So those will be two omissions if they don't play here. But I still think that, you know, what the Hurricanes are doing, playing Svechnikov on a separate line from Sebastian Aho early on in the season, it's questionable, but maybe it could lead to some serious depth for that team. And Svechnikov, I think we still view as a top 15 overall player, playing on power play one with Aho and Teravainen when he comes back, and Dougie Hamilton, who I think is in for some big things. I'd probably get Dougie Hamilton into my lineup for this game against the Lightning. Think he could make a big impact.
Time out. Before we move to Thursday, and Robbie did the right thing because that is the game on Thursday. And Robbie also said the right thing by saying that tonight's slate is not great. But there are addicts out there that are going to have a need to get some lettuce on the games tonight, as well as some DFS. So let's just serve that audience real quickly with some DFS picks. If you see a play on the board, shout it out, and then we can move to Thursday. Let's start with Robbie real quick, guys, real quick.
Did you say a play for tonight?
A play for tonight or something DFS? There's nothing. You see nothing on the
board.
You're struggling.
I don't. Okay. I would say this. Don't the force picks it. Have been good lately, and I would have to, you know, I don't want to put a bad play out there for anybody. I think if you're looking at DFS, I mean, hey, the one thing is about tonight, the Senators, they still don't have a win, right? So when is that going to happen? I'm not going to say go out and take them. I'm not advocating for that, but that's one thing that I'm a little bit surprised by. DJ Smith, you know, is a good coach so far. I'm surprised they haven't had squeaked out a win yet.
I think they're 1-4. At least
I think they beat the Leafs in that.
Oh, did they?
Okay. First game, and, but then they haven't won since then. Right. Ever since then, they're 0-4-1. So, I do think the Senators on single game DFS basis will yield some value this year. Season long, honestly, and unless you're talking about Brady Tkachuk, Thomas Chabot, or Tim Stützle, I'm not touching anybody on that team other than maybe a streaming spot where they have four games in a week. But DFS, you could start getting excited about them, maybe take a Dadonov. A lot of people have been asking, for some reason, I got two questions yesterday, the most random question by two different people, the same question: should I drop Dadonov for Andrew Kopp? And it's like, yes, you should, especially after last night's performance by Kopp for the Jets. But I do think like Stutzla I would draft in DFS tonight. I would lean more towards the Senators-Canucks game for scoring as opposed to that other one. I'm not too interested in that Blackhawks-Predators game. It's probably going to be on the lower end in points.
And I would say one more thing, too, about this Senators team. Matt Murray, owners or managers, it's probably time to cut that cord. I would much rather have a streamer like Cal Peterson. Any one of the guys you mentioned earlier that, you know, might not get the same volume as Murray's expected to this season, I don't care so much about volume anymore this season. As long as I get my minimum three starts and they're quality starts every week, I'm fine with that.
All righty. That's enough for Wednesday. Let's move to the Thursday slate. We already touched on the Tampa Bay, Carolina. Plenty of matchups to get to. Where do you want to start, Peter?
Well, I mean, certainly I think, like, again, we keep saying, we were saying it yesterday, but like the Rangers they just have to bounce back against the Buffalo Sabres.
I mean,
if they get
them.
Swept by the Buffalo Sabres, then you might have some news the next day or two for the wrong reasons. But anyway, so I think the Islanders, I've been kind of like stunned by the way that they haven't been able to score lately. I mean, they came back in the game against the Caps, but it was just a disappointing effort. I think one of these games, the Islanders will get the offense going. I don't see them getting swept by the Capitals. I think the gap from previous years has certainly narrowed and even flipped last year when the Isles crushed them in the playoffs. So maybe go the Isles second game back-to-back trend on the road against Washington. Yeah, my watch game for sure is Lightning Hurricanes. I don't know if I could pick a winner in that game right now. I'm just excited to be a viewer for that one. And then, great start for the Dallas Stars, man. I mean, they played low scoring last night. They played high scoring a few nights before that in their opener. I just like Dallas to keep it rolling. I love the way that team is playing out of the gates this season. So Dallas Stars are a puck line play for me, I would say.
Noah Dobson might be a good pickup in season-long leagues for the Islanders, too. He showed some real flashes against the Caps on Tuesday night. Could be a power play sleeper. Pulak, I don't think we're getting value from right now. I don't know why. We're just not. I think Dobson might be the guy. Yeah, it's funny that they couldn't win against the Caps even without Backstrom and Eller, too. No Backstrom, no Eller for the last 10 minutes of the third period, and they still couldn't get the W. I mean,
and no Ovechkin and no Kuznetsov.
Well, not to mention Ovi, yeah. Wilson, Kuzi, Orlov, Samsonov. I don't know, Laviolette gold right now.
Yep.
That's some magic right there. Whatever
Absolutely.
He's preaching, they're listening to. That's working.
I was just going to say, that is all Laviolette. And I was fading the Capitals against the Sabres. Both of those games went into shootouts. The Capitals in years past would have taken some time off in those games. They would have country clubbed it. They were into those games without those big players. So you gotta look at Laviolette and say, wow, this is what he's done his entire career, first year, and they're playing for him. They're playing hard for him.
I would say for a play, I would go back to the LA Kings here. I just think like how Minnesota beat them the first two in dramatic fashion. I think LA is going to do the same thing. So look at LA. My watch game for Thursday, other than the Carolina game, Toronto-Edmonton. I mean, this one, the Leafs are kind of getting in gear here. The big guys are starting to show up. And you know, you absolutely know that McDavid and Draisaitl are going to answer the bell too. So I'm not putting action on that, but I'm really interested in seeing who comes out on top of that game.
The Kings are like last year's Wild. You're going to take the Kings at this price all day. And the Wild, they're minus 160. That price is too high for the Wild. Sorry, it's
That's ridiculous.
I don't understand why.
I mean, last Joel Eriksson's on fire, but...
Yeah, last year they were undervalued. This year, the price is too high as I look at it. I mean, minus 160? No, I'm sorry. I can't do that. Sorry, Pete, to jump in there, but I'm into it today.
No, it's all good. But yeah, you look at the records of those, the Maple Leafs and Oilers. Leafs all of a sudden 6-2-0 and the Oilers 3-5-0. The Oilers looking a little bit like the flawed team that we said they were. And there are a couple of flawed teams in that division. I think that Winnipeg, like when you look at it with a fresh look here, I would put Winnipeg on a higher pedestal than I would the Vancouver Canucks or those Edmonton Oilers for that fourth spot in the Canada division, behind Toronto, Montreal, and Calgary. That's like just revisiting our preseason predictions, or at least mine. I had those top three teams in. I had Vancouver in, but after the Dubois trade, after the emergence of their second line, Josh Morrissey on power play one, like my fourth team right now, I would bump up the Winnipeg Jets, bump down the Vancouver Canucks, and keep down the Edmonton Oilers because I haven't been impressed.
That's fair. That is fair. Good show today, guys. One last thing about the Maple Leafs, their power play, 42%, converting at 42%.
Wow.
On the other side of the ice, the Oilers penalty kill, a measly 17% success rate. Watch out for that. If the Oilers want to win that game, they cannot take a single penalty.
And quietly, the Maple Leafs are 6-2. They're playing pretty good hockey. And Edmonton, I think, is just, they don't have the horses on defense. They don't have the scoring horses other than McDavid and Draisaitl. They're a flawed team. We saw it last year in the playoffs, and that sort of continued into this year. I'm not really impressed with Edmonton either, Pete.
Yeah, and I wanted to add NHL. He may be tied, but tied with Connor McDavid for the NHL scoring lead is Mitchell Marner. So a big performance from him so far. No, Matthews has been great as well. He missed, what, the one game because he was day-to-day, but Marner has been the most valuable. I guess right up there with Mikko Rantanen, because Rantanen did score again, sixth straight game with a goal for Mikko Rantanen. But those are your top two right wings. Those are the guys that when David Pastrnak comes back, you're not going to say for sure Pastrnak is the number one right wing in fantasy, at least to start the season, just because of how darn good Mikko Rantanen and Mitch Marner have been so far.
Okay, any last minute questions, guys?
Yeah, time to say
hit
goodbye.
Hit us up on Twitter at NHL Reese for me, at NHL Jensen for Petey, at Aircheck for Bobby.
Say goodbye.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll be back at you on Friday again, looking ahead to the weekend. Take some mailbag questions. Hit us up at NHL Fantasy on Instagram and Twitter. So for Bobby and Robbie, this is Pete saying so long. Thanks for listening. NHL Fantasy on Ice.